This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in, welcome in. We are so excited to have you guys here for episode 99. Episode 99, one away from a hundo. ABB, how's it feeling?
Good. 99 problems, but 99 episodes ain't one. That's as close as I could get with that reference, I think, today. But that was for Jesse. We were on the phone before.
I was ready for, based on the discs that we tried out today, like if we ended up going with one of them in particular, I think we could hit him with a 99 problems, but a pitch ain't one.
See, I like that. Well,
that's close.
It's still open.
That's all in the notes.
We're there. Okay. Well, hey, be prepared, everybody. It's episode 99. We're feeling wild. We're going to make some references to, some, you know, there's a lot of things we can do, but, before that, just want to thank everybody. It's been really fun doing these lives, Robbie. I know, like, it's just like randomly through like either Wednesday or Thursday in the week, but we go live on Instagram and it's just fun throwing with everybody. It's fun. Just like, again, I liked the time just throwing and nothing else, but it's also a lot more fun answering questions and just everybody hanging out. So thank you for all of you who are joining there. If you haven't started following us, please go on Instagram, In the Bag Pod. That's us. You can follow us there. And I try to let everybody give you at least somewhat of a heads up that I'm going live. And as we create more content for one another, you know, both here and our YouTube channel that's going to be launching in a few weeks, you know, we're going to just try to give you some more clips, more lives, more Q&A opportunities, just a lot more content. So thank you all. And it all starts at In the Bag Pod at Instagram. So make sure you follow us there.
Yeah. I appreciate it because it's one of those, I can jump in and I'm usually not going to be very active in the chat. I think that I don't want to distract from there. I don't know if that's a bad stance to take, but I want you to be able to shine. So like today I talked a little bit because there was a disc that got brought up. One of the guys, Shay, in the chat, Shay, near and dear friend of Foundation, but he mentioned the Super Puppy because Brad was trying out some lids, and the Super Puppy is a disc that I fell in love with. Before I had ever discovered overstable putt and approach discs, all of my approaches, I threw hammer approaches into the green, let them hit flat and slide in. And coming from an ultimate background, the Super Puppy is what I found. And I had a guy, his name was Tom Monroe, PDGA number 33. He'll tell you the only reason that he wasn't higher up is because he didn't have the $5 to pay Ed for his membership earlier on. And so by the time he came back a week later, he was number 33. But Tom had a stack of puppies and he literally had to cut me off like a drug deal because I kept buying them, but because of how I was throwing them, I kept hitting the ground so hard that the flight plate and the rim kept separating.
Really?
So I had a bunch of like just halos basically. But that was, I mean, literally, I switched from that to the XT Nova. Like, that was near and, so it's very near and dear to my heart. Super Puppy's great. But Brad was throwing some forehands, and I was like, okay, I want to make sure as someone who throws lids on a forehand, this is definitely a disc that you could be like, oh, it's like, you can't throw it on a forehand. It's impossible. Because if you hit it hard. And we'll talk about that when we get to the testing the section. But yeah, so I just want to back off and appreciate it. But I enjoyed the lives because then when I see you throwing, there's moments that I get to be like, okay, I'm definitely going to ask him about that during the experience.
Yeah, it's added another element. Again, as we continue to build the show, it just adds like that little extra, just a little element. And, you know, I'm excited for it. And it's fun. So thank you all for supporting that. I think that all being said, we're ready to bring in our guest, Colin, who is a regular on the live. So I'm excited to get him in the chat and talk to him. So let's bring him in.
Welcome into the podcast. Colin, how are you doing today, sir?
Oh, doing great. Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Couldn't be better if we tried, man. I mean, I didn't throw in rain. So bingo card users out there, one down. Didn't throw in rain
or wind.
Oh, yeah. It was like decent. And there was no like crazy sun. People could see the discs. I didn't hit the van. So that's good too. So all around good day, Colin. So thank you for asking. We're excited to have you on. I know you're someone who will jump in and out of the live. So I love that. Saw you jump in this morning just for a little sneak peek. So excited about this episode, especially again, I don't see your bag until after I throw. So now seeing your bag, I get why we were throwing what we were throwing. Pretty excited to talk about it. But before that, let's get to know you as a player and Robbie can walk you through our introductory questions.
Yeah. So Colin, how long have you been playing disc golf, sir?
Just over a year. I really started in February of 23 and just started taking off from there. So just crossed my year mark not that long ago. That's and awesome. been loving it ever since.
We've said it before and I'll say it again. It just makes my heart so happy that like we are now far enough removed like from the boom of the sport to go, oh yeah, like Colin's a new player, but you didn't start playing during COVID. Like you're not a COVID golfer. So that's so
we'll call you a postie. That's what I'm gonna
postie. I like it.
Malone going crazy right now. Okay, so Colin, we put you out in a field and we're like, all right, we're gonna put a basket X amount of feet away from you, wide open spaces. Little shout out to
Dixie Chicks.
Okay,
that was probably not. I'm gonna get blamed on the Dixie
Chicks. It might be. I'm pretty sure it is because I was like, it's the Landslide Gals.
Okay, all right. Let us know below.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we said in the intro, Colin, before you got in here, that we are feeling squirrely today. Yeah. So it's going to be
I'm here for it. I match it.
Yeah, tighten your belts, kids. Yeah. It's going to be bumpy.
So we put the basket out in the field. How far are you consistently reaching it, forehand and backhand?
Backhand, I just recently crossed the 300 threshold, actually right around my one-year anniversary, so that was pretty cool. And so I'm hitting about 300 to 315.
Okay.
Depending on the disc choice, obviously, but around there. Forehand, I just don't have it, man. there is no forehand at all. I'm maybe getting 150. If I am able to hit it straight or a straight shot, because I have kind of an Anheuser release. So if I'm able to kind of get one to fight that, I can maybe push like 220.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay.
I'd call that decent.
If you've got 150 foot forehand, I think the words, I don't have a forehand and 150 foot forehand do not connect to one another. Mm-hmm. Tournament I played this past weekend, I played with a guy who at one point I pulled a Cyclone out of my bag, which is a old Discraft mold. Cause I knew that this man used to be on Team Discraft and he was like, oh yeah, no, at 99 worlds in the distance comp, I threw a Cyclone. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah, I lost to a DX Cheetah, person threw that like 584 or something like that. And I was that is disgusting. But that person, Colin, doesn't have a forehand. Like that man walking up, like if it was, oh, this is so clearly a forehand, he is just finessing like a DX rock over and making it work. So
makes me feel a little better.
150 foot forehand, still a great forehand. And if you never test it, never grows. So we love that. Now let's take you to the putting green, Colin. And we say, okay, we're going to get 10 putts from 15 feet, 10 putts from 25 and 10 putts from 40 feet. How many are you making at each station?
I got to tell myself a little bit here. I'm not as good of a putter. I kind of learned the game backwards. So from 15 feet, probably seven.
Okay.
Just to be safe, I'm going to end up caging at least two just from nerves. 25, I'm strangely a little more consistent in. So I'm probably good for 5 or 6 from 25.
Okay.
And 40 is, you know, hope and a prayer. I'd like to say that I could hit one, but you know, it's only if the stars are aligned. So
I know some guys that tried to hit some 30 footers and it took them 9 hours. So,
yeah, let's just not even go into that. That was
warehouse probably still has their odor.
Yeah. I'm literally looking right now at baskets that are full of discs just in the middle in a box of putters, just still here. But hey, just a comment on the 15 to 25 foot thing. And Robbie, you would be the expert at this, but I think it's something about like at 25 foot. I know for me, I feel really good at 20, and then 15, I think I feel like I feel like almost choke off my, like the actual like follow through. And at 20 and 25, I feel like I can do my full like stride and my full follow through. So maybe that's why you feel a little bit comfortable, more comfortable there than 15. Robbie, that make any sense at all?
Yeah. I mean, my two theories would be exactly that. At a 15 footer, it's like the pressure's on so much of like, I've got to make this. Like they feel, a 15 footer feels so much more like a must make than a 25 footer. And when that pressure coming off, you can hit a little more. So I think, yeah, those two factors, at least for me, I can see that. I don't know about you, Colin, if that sounds like at the right boat.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel, cause it feels like it should be a gimme, even if it is or not. Mm-hmm. And so I just put way too much pressure on myself and I just have to float this in. I kind of cornhole it a little too much.
That makes sense.
So I don't let myself hit the chain sometimes.
Yeah, I played with Justin, who was one of our guests a couple episodes ago, and he told me, he was like, your short ones look like an entirely different putt. And I was like, yeah, I mean, from 15 and in, I'm spin putting. Like, it's not my normal push putt at all. Like, it's zipping into the chains. Because if I try to do my traditional, like, push putt, I feel like I have to change it because it just zoop, climbs and I'm hitting the band every single time. So I feel much more comfortable just flinging it in the basket. Now, what would you say is the biggest strength of your game, Colin?
I don't know if I would necessarily call this a strength, but it's probably the best I got is just off the tee.
Okay.
I decided that if I was going to start really working on my game, I was going to start with what I'm the most comfortable with, which is drives, and just driver discs in general. Mm-hmm. And kind of play to my strengths first. And so I spent probably 3 or 4 months straight just practicing distance and practicing off the tee. And most of the time, if I'm taking a bogey, or worse on a hole, it's not because of the tee shot. It's mostly because of either the upshot, which is probably the weakest part of my game, or the putting.
Okay.
So started there, and here more lately been trying to dial in the putting and the upshots. I took to heart Robbie, your suggestion from last episode about putting a shovel in the yard, and taped up a band on it and just been aiming at that. And I could tell a huge difference just in one day. So I'm definitely looking forward to trying out that more, to try and dial that in. But yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. Off the tee is probably, whether or not I'm getting the distance I need, it's reliable at least.
Dude, I cannot agree with you more in my heart, Colin. The tournament I played this weekend, they actually had like 4 normal baskets kind of out, and then they had this marksman basket just setting off to the side, and everyone was going and putting and warming up on that, like the big baskets, the standard baskets. And I was like, heck no. So I walked over, and every round I warmed up on the marksman basket, and it was one of my best putting tournaments I've ever had, because it was just like, oh my gosh, because as soon as I was like consistently making, cause I talked about it last week, like I always end on a miss, and I literally on my last one, like the first round, I literally intentionally missed because I was just like, I couldn't get off the pole, which sounds like so braggy, but then I walked into the round and I was like, I mean, it was insane. It was one of the best putting rounds of my life. And truly, that target's so small. You step up to a full size basket when you've been putting at a shovel. Mm-hmm. how am I supposed to miss this thing? It's crazy how much confidence it gives you. Well, Colin, let's dive into the bag, man. We're going to start. We're talking putters for those of you who haven't caught on to that yet, or if we didn't say it. But we're talking putters. So we're going to start with the drivers and work our way down. You've got three distance drivers in your bag. I guess one of them technically – no, the Jet is an 11. Three distance drivers in your bag. Talk us through it. The Jet, the Nuke SS, and the time lapse. What are they doing for you?
For sure. The easiest is the time lapse. It is just my headwind disc. The rim isn't the most comfortable for me. The lab second one, something about it just, I only use it in that situation. There's no reason for me to throw it any other time. The Nuke SS was a recent addition, that was, left abandoned at a local course that didn't have anyone's information on it. And I was trying it out and something about that disc I was just connecting with. I know in my heart, I have no business throwing a 13 speed. But I was able to hyzer flip it to flat and then turn pretty substantially before it coming back. So I know that that's thanks to the negative 3.3. But it's the most gorgeous flight I've ever been able to pull off on a disc. So I have it in my bag still, just kind of messing with it. If it's a wide open hole that I don't have to worry too much about left to right movement, just to mess with it more. But I, as of right now, I still just love that disc. The Jet is kind of my go-to, like anything over 400. That's just max distance. It's flippy, but I know I can just yam on it and not worry too much about it kind of going off the line I want it to be. It flies very similar to my Insanity whenever we take a step down, which is my most trusted mold. And so it flies similar to that. I got that instant trust in it. If it's over that 400, I'm going to that and I know I'll be safe.
Okay. Interesting.
Flight wise, I guess it does turn a little bit.
Yeah.
And it'll turn a little bit and then it'll have a, not a dumping fade, but just a pretty consistent, you know, finding its way to the ground. So,
is that the Insanity or the Jet you're speaking about?
The Jet, sorry.
Yeah. I find Insanities are, at least for me, I don't think Insanities are as flippy as intended. Do you feel that way, Robbie? Have you thrown a bunch of those?
I've thrown a lot of Insanities. The Insanity, honestly, that I've thrown the most, that I feel like most people end up bagging, is funny enough the most stable run of them that I've seen, which is that Eclipse Insanity run that has like the skull that looks like its eyes are like crying or whatever. That's the run of Insanities that I've thrown the most, because I have so many people that are like, oh yeah, this is the one that I bag, and I feel like they all fly they fly so weird. And I actually, when I saw that you had a Proton, I asked a friend who has one in his bag, Ryan, I was like, have you thrown a Proton? He was like, yeah, that's what I have. And it's a little flippy, but it's not so flippy kind of a deal. That's so fascinating on the Nuke SS, because for some people, yeah, that 13 speed, like the bigger rim actually does feel better in their hand. Like it's like going to a 12 feels like this weird world of my hand cannot grab it. But the bigger rim, I feel, because Brad, aren't you one of those kind of people? Like you like the bigger rim?
I love a bigger rim. I actually threw a Nuke SS for a very, very long time because I loved how it felt so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know even Brody, when Brody got into the game, Brody was throwing Nuke SSs as his primary distance driver. So I'm not trying to say that you're throwing as far as Brody right off the bat, Colin. I'm not, but I still, it's a good path to follow. Good path to follow, because then you can kind of progress up the chain. It makes that possible. Sure. Okay. I love it. The Jet, not a very popular mold, but sounds like it's working, which is great. So I'll tell you the disc that I'm most curious about is the Tesla. What does this Tesla do for you?
So initially I had bought it because I had gotten into a bad habit for a while of having an Anheuser release. And that's what kind of sparked that I'm going to work on my, distance form. Cause I was just Anheuser releasing for probably 3 months straight. And initially I was throwing a dynamic breakout for the longest time in prime plastic. And so not only did it, you know, beat in super fast and become a lot flippier than what I needed at the time.
Yeah.
But then I was also Anheuser throwing. So that thing would just turn and burn. Mm-hmm. It was gone. And so I bought the Tesla, trying to fix that. And it was my go-to for a long time. And then I fixed it and got back to a Heiser release. Mm-hmm. And so now it's a fairly, I wouldn't say like super overstable, but it's, if I don't watch how I throw it just with my natural release now, it can get pretty dumpy. I tombstone with it all the time on wet course days. But it is reliable, and I do throw it for like shorter headwind shots or if the wind's not as strong. But it is pretty consistent.
Okay. So still a good bit of fade is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good. So this is, one of the questions that we try to ask when people come on the show, for those of you who are listening, is that like, what are areas of your bag that you're not confident in? Because there's sometimes that we look at the bag and we're like, okay, this looks like an area that could use some help. This looks like an area that could use some help. But if people just trust the flight numbers that you put in on the like disc RPM, then sometimes that's just not the real story of how that disc actually flies, right? And so we have moments of, if I were to put Precious Child in there, like if I put all three of my pigs in there, you would think, okay, he is missing a somewhat understable slot. But between my Polecat and Precious Child, I don't need an understable throwing putter because those two do it beautifully. So you adjust the numbers. So the Tesla, it was like, okay, I'm looking and I'm not seeing a ton of like, it doesn't seem like a ton of adjusted flight numbers, but the Tesla at that fission plastic, it could be just a really straight like flyer form that has minimal fade. So I'm going to bring the Crave into the equation then. Is the Crave like one of your go-to throwers?
Actually, no.
Really? Interesting.
The Crave is more so the prototype one that's in there is a little bit on the chopping block. And I'm hesitating to go there yet because the Crave has taught me that I have a bad nose up angle issue. So I'm trying to fix that, but I'm not throwing the Craves well. And I don't think that's anything about the discs. I think honestly, it's just me after working with it. I was surprised. I had done a lot of research on the Craves before I had got both of those in a Dryer Palooza box that my wife got me for our anniversary. And I was surprised at how much fade they had. They're not dumpy, but it was more than what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Especially the R2, that's a little bit more to be expected. It has a glow in it. You know, I figured that one probably would be, if I'm not throwing one of the three 9-speeds, then I'm throwing the Drift.
Okay. Okay. So the Crave has a little too much fade. It's enough fade that it's almost like I would rather just throw the Tesla type deal.
No. And that's kind of what I struggle with a lot of times in my game, honestly, is I don't know when to use the Crave or when to use the Tesla because they don't exactly coincide with each other.
Okay.
I would say the Crave does fly barely a little bit more stable than my Insanity.
Okay.
So if you took away the speeds and just put them all on one level,
yeah,
the Crave kind of slots closer to the Insanity than the Tesla.
Okay.
And so I'm, truth be told, on myself here, whenever I could throw the Crave, I'm either reaching for the Drift to have just a little bit more turn, or the Insanity that just, it's kind of that, the Insanity is very straight, very neutral flying. And so I'm either reaching for the Drift or the Insanity than the Crave.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So I think my curiosity here, and Brad, you can tell me if it's wrong, or if you have a different thought, is if the Craves are that much of a question mark, I would pull them out. Because I will say that amongst the Gyro Nation, I feel like people are afraid to say something. It's hard to say I'm a Gyro fan and I dislike the Crave.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you get hunted down for that stuff. Mm-hmm. If you sign up for Gyro Nation, you sign up on this watch list and they're all protecting each other. And they're all I can't confirm these things, but I've not been told that it doesn't exist. If you know what I'm saying, wink, 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 wink.
Right, right.
So if you're part of this community and you're like, oh yeah, no, I think the Crave's okay, people instantly are like, excuse me, you just talk about our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
The Crave, you're trying to talk trash about the Crave. Mm-hmm. When I put out a video that talked about how great the servo is, I got so nervous throwing the Crave in that video. Cause I was like, people are going to come hunt my head that I'm not a Crave guy. So pull the Crave. If we pull the Crave out, and if you want to stay in the Gyro world, something like a Volt could work really well. True. I'm just trying to think of something that's in between that Insanity and the Tesla that actually gives you straight with fade, consistent fade that would be defined. So the Volt comes to mind, but then also I think that you could, if you're I know you've talked about, you're not necessarily married to the Gyro, you can try some other stuff. I think that's where a Stalker comes in really beautiful. Mm-hmm.
A river.
Yeah. Going to have some fade.
I've tried rivers in the past.
Have you tried the FD by Dismania?
I've not. I've been looking at FDs, FD1s, and Prodigy F2s.
Yeah.
Are kind of the things I've had on my radar for that one or two stability tick on disc RPM there.
Yeah. I would say
C-Line FD is your solution.
Amongst those, I like the C-Line FD. Cheapest option is going to be your Prodigy F2s, and not factory set. We both know you're talking about, we all know you're talking about the actual F2 mold. And it's a sleeper disc that a lot of, I feel like if a manufacturer or a retailer carries Prodigy, they probably got F2s sitting there. Both great options. I agree with Brad in that I like the FD because I think that the FD seasoned enough could become a straight flyer as well, to where you could bag a multiple FD setup. Cause you could probably even, Brad, you're way more familiar. Try again. Here we go. Brad, you are way more familiar with the FD than I am. So what do you think about even a C-Line and an S-Line FD coming in side by side? Because that S-Line FD sounds like it would fly so similar to the Insanity right off the bat.
Yeah, the S-Line's going to – it'll have a little stability at the beginning, but it'll beat in pretty quickly and be very straight. And once that seasons a little bit, it will eventually get to the point where it does turn a little bit on you, and that's where you just have the C-Line complement. Yeah, I like the combo, plastic combo there. It's a 7-speed that I feel like flies as far as a 9-speed.
Yeah. So
nice.
Definitely some options there. And once again, we're always a fan here on the show of if you're asking questions about a disc, Colin, I don't really know when to go to this. I rip it out. Just pull it out and see, because worst case scenario, right? you're going to, if you pull the craze out of the bag and you played for a month, maybe there's moments that you step up and you're like, oh, really wish I had the crave in the bag right now. Mm-hmm. And that's just as telling as if you pull them out and you're like, I literally didn't notice a difference in how I score at all. So you talked about the drift. Walk me through holes where you're like, okay, I'm throwing the insanity here. I'm throwing the drift here. I'm throwing the inertia here. Cause I could see those being clouded.
Yeah. So the drift, it really has to do with distance more than anything. The drift I'm throwing on holes that are, you know, 280 to 310.
Okay.
The insanity I'm throwing from 310 to 400, not my distance, the pin distance. And, the drift also, I can get to turn more if I release it flat. The drift is more of a dependable, hyzer flip disc for me. But if I release it flat, I get more of almost like a little flex shot.
Okay.
S flight type of shot with it. Which the drift is really a lot of times for wooded golf. Mm-hmm. A lot of times. Cause it's easier for me to shape.
Yeah.
With it. The inertia. This thing, it kind of took me by surprise. So it is from the starter set. And I was expecting something that would be more straight than the insanity just based off of the flight numbers.
Yeah.
But we know that they're lies. And when I threw it, I released it flat. And it, if I get it up to speed, it honestly almost turns and burns. It's a lot more. That's why my note in there says deceptively flippy.
Yeah.
Cause I have to put a baby hyzer on it even to get just a more, slow turn. That's kind of my natural release. So that's somewhat easy for me to do, but, tunnel shots, that kind of end right, or just a, you know, right ending, hole, without like a, you know, a sharp turn, that's when the inertia is coming out for on like a driver distance for that.
Okay. Okay. I think that part of the bag sounds like that side, you've got it all figured out. Have you thrown the drift compared to the rhythm?
I've not thrown a rhythm.
Okay.
I saw that they were recently restocked everywhere and I was kind of curious about it too, but I've never gotten to try it.
The rhythm's one of those that I feel like the Gyro Nation, when it came out, everyone was like, oh, we've been looking for this disc. Like, we've really wanted this disc. And so a lot of people went to the rhythm. I mean, from arms all the way of like an AM arm up to top pros, like, are throwing the rhythm and they're throwing it extremely well. So I'd just be curious how the drift flies in comparison to them, because obviously the drift has been around longer than the rhythm. So I'd be curious on that side of things. Let's talk mid ranges, unless you got any questions on fairways, Brad.
No, I think rhythm for me, rhythm has always been like like that nice little straight to a little bit of stability, even based on the flight number. So that might be a good replacement for your craves too, if you're interested in that. I think it'll be without having to season something in. It might be there where you want it already. So just food for thought on that. No, I think
for sure.
I'm excited to hear about your mid ranges too, because you have one of a disc that's near and dear to my heart with the uplink.
Yes, sir. So the one that I bag is also from that starter set, and this one it's a roller. Even I have, this will be a little bit more telling for when we get down to putters, but, I have a struggle with, controlling my power, anything below like 75%. And so I use that in relation to the detour of if I know I need a roller or I know I need to get right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I'm just yamming on that uplink and turning that thing over. And kind of bringing that roller into play. The detour is more shapeable for me because it can handle the torque. I can hyzer flip. I can do a slow panning anhyzer. I can kind of do anything with that detour. And it actually pushed my original uplink out. Mm-hmm. It was a standard neutron and it was kind of a little bit more stable than what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. So once I tried out the detour and tried out the uplink, I got them at the same time. The one that I back now, I said, cool. I have a world where I can use both of these in conjunction. Cause I love both the molds.
Yeah.
So kind of get to use both. But yeah, it's a very good, and it's cool for me, somewhat new, having that, being able to say that I have that roller option.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
And a couple of times I've brought it into play at a local course and, you know, almost parked a dog leg right 290-foot hole. And mm-hmm. So it's a really neat shot for me to be able to call on.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I think that's the reason, like, I like the idea of the detour personally, but it just was too close to my, like, max weight uplink, neutron uplink, and I just wasn't willing to bail on my uplink. So I think that's why I didn't love the detour. It was a good disc, but I just didn't have a use for it in my bag. And you were telling us a story off air that you had kind of a special connection with uplink anyway, which I thought was very cool, that if you would like to share that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had started disc golf really in February of last year, like I said, and then in July I had found you guys just searching disc golf on Spotify. Mm-hmm. You guys were one of the first options that came up and I was wanting something that talked more about, you know, discs and plastic. And so I'm a big podcast binger.
Yeah.
If I come across one that, you know, I believe at the time you guys were around like 75, or 56, you know? Oh, yeah. And, so I always start at one and I work my way up until I'm caught up.
I love it.
Love it.
During work from July to October, mm-hmm. I pretty much did nothing but just listen to you guys. So episode two, talking about the uplink, I was looking for a mid. At that time, I had no mids, no workable mids. Mm-hmm. I had no idea how to even get started. So after I listened to it, I bought an uplink.
Nice.
I had a Nomad already and kind of just decided to start working with MVP for myself. I'm not any aspiring pro or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I know that's just not for me. And but I wanted something to where I wouldn't feel overwhelmed. Mm. I threw Dynamic initially getting into it. There was a small section of a hardware store mm-hmm. that carried four brands, Dynamic being one of them. And when, you know, the world was kind of that small, it was easy to go, oh, I like this Dynamic. I like this Innova. But then as I kind of started learning more, oh, there's different plastics. Oh, there's different runs that can affect how the disc flies. Flight numbers aren't real. As I go through and start learning these, I was kind of getting a little overwhelmed. But I love the sport. I wanted to stick with it. I wanted to get decent. Mm-hmm. And so that was around the same time that, you know, I listened to the uplink episode. I listened to the episodes when Hunter went full MVP mm-hmm. and kind of just in the space doing research. I thought, well, it limits me to three brands, you know, a few dozen molds, you know, and just a handful of plastics. And use that to learn the game. Mm. I think even you guys had mentioned that to an extent too, a few episodes, you know, somewhere down the line. And that was just what I needed at the moment to be able to get into it and feel like I knew what I was doing.
Right.
And being able to separate looking at the plastics, learning that, and then learning how to actually throw them.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great approach. Yeah, I think that's maybe even for me, even though I started like just one manufacturer bag, it did help me kind of learn maybe a little quicker and then also be open to more stuff, which sounds counterintuitive, but I can appreciate that. But I think it's really cool just seeing some person, I'm gonna call you a person in the wild, if you will, just kind of finding us, you know, finding the Uplink episode, and the rest is history. So I think that's really cool. And I just appreciate that. And thank you for being a fan and following us along. And hey, look, 99, episode 99, you're here. And we're happy. And hey, you better be careful about the flight number comments. A big flight number is going to come after you, and you're just going to disappear off the face of the planet. So let's keep it. It's got two different
big name, unnamed organizations coming after him right now. Yeah. It's becoming a dangerous episode for Colin.
Yeah, right. So before it gets too dangerous, let's get into the meat of the episode, which is the putters, what we actually threw for the day. We'll talk a little about flight numbers, which some of them are going to agree on. So we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll turn this episode around.
I love it. So you've got on the stable side, you got two Envies. Can't have you on with ABB in the room and not talk about the Envies. You've got your Rebirth and a Eclipse R2. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between those two?
The Rebirth Envy, I think, is pretty well established at this point. It's a lot glidier, mm-hmm. And a lot straighter. I really almost used that Rebirth Envy as a mid-range, which throws my Echo and Reactor situation into that much more confusion. Mm-hmm. And the R2 Envy... flies like I would expect an NV2.
Okay.
These are both the first two I've ever had, mm-hmm. of them. And the R2 has that consistent fade. It's not mm-hmm. strong, but it's there. Mm-hmm. That I can trust. I will try to forehand the R2 NV sometimes on a chip up. Upshot.
Yeah.
The Rebirth, I really just use as like a off the tee or, you know, 200 plus upshot. Mm-hmm.
And I like that you have a blue one with a blue rim. I think it's great.
It's a gorgeous one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you also bag another mold I've actually never even heard of until right now. I'm going to say the Fusong. Is what I'm going to mm-hmm. call it.
Let's go, Brad. What?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. My Mandarin is coming up. Fusong. Fusong. So tell us about that. Why? That's what I'm asking.
It's kind of a little bit about me outside of disc golf is I studied Mandarin for 7 years.
Okay. Wow. Well, wait, pause. Don't go any farther. Did I say it correctly?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Heck yeah. Okay. Continue. Go ahead.
a lot of my free time, I love studying Chinese and Japanese history, culture, things like that. And so I was introduced to Ikun through my cousin that actually got me started into disc golf. Mm-hmm. He had just bought a Twin Swords whenever we went out, and I love that disc, and I'm like, hey, there's a disc golf company that's, you know, nothing but Chinese history and mm-hmm. you know, lore and culture. And so the bad thing is no physical retailers almost just period sell them, let alone near me, mm-hmm. and in Ohio up here. So Dayton area.
Nice. Okay.
So my wife bought that for me, and I tried it as my putting putter for a while. I tried to change up my putting putter, and it was good. It's not nearly as overstable as the flight numbers suggest. Not mm-hmm. to make that situation even worse, but it really should be like a 2301.
Okay.
almost instead. So, but mm-hmm. I use it as a thrower. It's a great disc. I'm curious to see how the glazed plastic is kind of a little bit more slippery than I would like for a putter. Mm-hmm. But it's a decent thrower. So I'm curious to see how that'll change as the weather warms up, see if it feels any different, and see if, you know, it still has a place in the bag. I hope so. I love the disc. I hate taking it out of my bag, but we'll just have to see.
Can you say the manufacturer's name for me again?
Equin.
Okay. See, I'm going to be educated now. I love that. Robbie and I also appreciate particularly Japanese culture for me, but yep. based on, you know, our sleeves here that we have, are yep. working on currently. So that's cool. Well, thank you for that. That's very cool. And then we just have our Nomad, which I'm guessing is just your like straight throwing putter, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah, it is a frozen rope. Okay. It is the in my bag currently, it's what's been in there the longest.
Okay.
It was my putting putter for a while. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of wanted to change, not for any particular reason, but just because.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And messing around with it, I started using it as a warm up when I was practicing my distance. And I realized, hey, I'm throwing this thing on a 250 foot frozen rope. Mm-hmm. Why am I just putting with this? Okay. And, so that was how that changed out of that. And that disc, I played around at a local course that I shot my best round on. And I used that on almost all of the shorter holes and parked it almost every single time. That disc is just, sure. That is my precious child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Well, okay. Can I ask one question before we dive into yours, dive into the throws, Brad, mm-hmm. because I think this could actually inform even more so what we're looking for.
Okay.
How does the Nomad handle Anheuser?
If I throw it right, it'll hold it.
Okay.
Great question.
Okay. So if you don't throw it right, does it fade out or does it burn over?
If I throw two nose up, which I think is my issue, I'm still kind of in the middle of working that out. Mm-hmm. If I don't throw it right, it will, it'll fight out.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Cool.
Perfect. That is exactly what we needed to know. So Brad, we had you throw some of the most controversial, controversial makes it sound bad. Mm-hmm. The most polarizing.
There you go.
Slot in disc golf, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lid slot. So Robbie actually requested that I throw the Rattler and the Spore if we had them. Definitely had the Spore, but did not have the Rattler. But I did borrow said Rattler. And I on the live, they informed me that I say Rattler weird, and I'm sorry for that. that's at like Southern Ohio. I'm from near Athens, Colin. So,
okay.
I'm going to lean into it, the Rattler and the Sport. So I did throw them. I won't be giving out the Rattler, but I did want to throw it as a baseline since Robert mm-hmm. recommended it. Did throw the Sport today. I grabbed the, pitch as well, which is interesting. And I also threw the Glitch because it's the only lid I've thrown that I actually throw often because I literally keep it in my truck. My family went out with some friends for dinner on Monday night, and we were talking at the back of my truck, and me and my boys were throwing it in the empty parking lot. So like, you never know when you're going to have the Glitch out throwing it. So I thought it'd be a good like reference point for these other discs, so I kind of could compare them against each other.
Yeah. And we said off air, one of the reasons that I didn't put the Glitch in the mix is because looking at the setup here, mm-hmm. if you have that much gyro in the bag, I was like, there's no way this man has not thrown a Glitch before. Mm-hmm. And if it hasn't made his bag, there's got to be a reason that it hasn't made his bag. So, but that's not to say like, oh man, I don't like it being in the mix, because I agree with Brad, like as a baseline of this is my best performing lid. Mm-hmm. How do these others compare? Because his best performing lid, you don't have a Glitch in your bag, right, Brad?
No, I do not.
Yeah.
Yep. But so, I throw it often, which is funny. Just I don't use it on the course.
Yeah. So hand feel, these vastly different.
Yes. So glitch is just a glitch. It's a plate. That's what it feels like. And that's my only issue with lids. They don't feel great in my hand. I think I'd probably even bag the glitch, honestly, if it felt better in my hand. I don't mind it if I'm like tossing with my friends or like my family or whatever. Doesn't bother me because I'm just like goofing around, just playing and having a good time. And so it feels okay. Pitch feels there's no bead. So I typically don't like a bead of any kind. So I guess in that way but it still feels kind of the same as a glitch. It just feels like a plate, a lid, if you will. Spore. I like the hand feel of the spore better, but it is so gummy. I don't love a disc that is that gummy, personally. We'll get to the flight later, though. It does have a bead. This bead does not bother me, but we'll get to the flight later and my thoughts on the spore. Rattler, garbage. complete waste of time. It's fine. I think for like ultimate folks, probably feels really good. It does feel, yeah. I mean, it's very ultimate. You left your ultimate out in the sun and it was wet and it shrunk. Like that's what happened with the Rattler. For a disc golf, like grip, there's nothing that feels worse on my hands. Now in Robbie's case, if I'm overhanding and like sliding this guy up to the basket, great time. That feels like a great time.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm here trying to recommend. So I'll talk about the Rattler, but hot garbage.
Yeah. I mean, and also you got to understand, you're talking to a guy that throws a polecat. I took a jar of peanut butter and I took the lid off of it and put it in my bag. So, I love it.
I've seen you throw it. So there's no hate to Rattler people out there. Rat lights, if you will. There's no hate for you. For me, no, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I'll never forget when Trevor was like, oh, you bagged the polecat ironically. Okay. Yeah. And it was before the first ever Creators Cup. And I was like, just wait, Trevor, like just play around with me, watch me throw it. And you'll be like, oh, maybe I should put one of those in my bag. And sure enough, he came up to me on like hole 14 or 15 and was like, okay, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I get it.
Okay, so you got those. Hand feel, I completely agree on the gumminess of the spore. Colin, have you held a spore? Because they're kind of like the hot stuff right now.
I have not.
Okay.
I have been wanting to try one, though.
Yeah. The Cloudstone plastic. Talk about that difference.
Way better.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely stiffer. It's more like Neutron. It's basically like a glitch, like that feel. Way better.
And they call the flat or like the stock run. There we go. They call it Neo.
Yeah, not Neo.
Brad, have you ever felt Neo that feels like that? Because you felt a lot of Neo plastic.
I have a lot of Neo plastic. I have a Neo Origin that I throw. It does not feel anything like Neo.
Yeah,
it's this like is they Neo left soft. Neo out in the sun.
Yeah, like Neo gummy, Neo soft. It's it's a wild experience, but I will say that as much as like it is a shocking feeling, I have met several folks who actually adore that plastic because it serves a purpose that I think we'll get to here when you throw them. So Brad, you go to throw these discs out in the field.
Yes.
Let's talk full power rips. Let's start there.
He laughs.
Yeah. He goes,
yeah. You're not throwing any of these boys above like 60% power. You can't. This Rattler, I could barely sneeze on it without it rolling over. So, again, to be fair, this is Isaac. He let me borrow one because we didn't have any in the warehouse. He actually throws one, and it's very beat in. So, to be fair, it's a beat in Rattler, but. It was super flippy. I mean, you could lay into the spore and the glitch a little bit more than the pitch. They could handle that torque resistance a little bit on backhand. Pitch could too. You just have to be careful, like not to give it any extra ante or anything like that. Cause the pitch and the glitch did fly very similar until you would give them like if you gave the pitch a little reason to turn, it would turn. But if you try to throw them like a little baby hyzer or something like that, they flew pretty much the same. But anytime I'd like come over a little too much or whatever, the pitch would take that anhyzer. It's a very like, not to jump ahead, Robbie, but the pitch was really cool because it was a very like, I'm going to call it an intuitive thrower. So it's like kind of whatever input you gave it, it kind of wanted to keep. Now it wouldn't fade hard or anything like that because it's just not, doesn't have a lot of fade. But even like a little hyzer or flat, it would go pretty straight. And I think the Eclipse plastic helps it have like that tick of stability. When they put it out in neutron, it will probably be a little bit more understable than this run. But yeah, I think the input you gave it was kind of the output you're going to give. And if you gave it a little reason to turn, it would definitely turn without a whole lot of effort, but it wouldn't burn over on you, which is what I liked. The Rattler would burn. Even on forehand, which I threw them on forehand poorly a lot, but I did throw them on some forehands. But with the right touch, you can get a really nice forehand, especially if you release on hyzer on the pit from the pitch glitch and spore. Rattler was a little like kind of hopeless for me today. But yeah, you had to be, they're all finesse discs. And I think that's probably some of the point here too, especially I love what you said earlier about you struggling with powering down. These discs will teach you that very quickly. I know with just speaking from personal experience with the glitch, like I love throwing it on forehand. Like if I'm just playing around like in the yard or whatever, I love throwing a little snappy forehand with it. It teaches you, yeah, like I'm not using my full body. I'm not putting a lot of heat into it, but I'm giving that nice little finesse flick. And it will turn a little bit and fade a little bit, which is very cool. So, yeah, power is not going to be the name of the game for any of these discs, but they'll all take some. So it's not like you have to baby them, but it will definitely teach you a little finesse. Teach you a lot about nose angle too, Robbie. That's something I know that I didn't even know on the live was it's really going to like, you can really start to play with nose angle a lot. So if you want like a really soft approach, you can like put them nose up and they'll give you a nice soft approach and soft landing. So that's kind of a fun part of it too.
Yeah. I like the more you described, even when you said, when we asked what strength of the game off the tee and you were like, approaches are my weakness. Mm-hmm. This is a disc that really, I think can shine in that realm. Mm-hmm. So thinking to one of your favorite features when you're recommending a disc, multi-shot option. Mm-hmm. Which of these discs really shined the most in that multi-shot option for you?
I really think the pitch, and I almost said the glitch, but the reason I say the pitch is nothing to do with you throwing the glitch before, but more to like, I'm looking at your flight chart here and like the gap that you have. I think the pitch is going to favor more the understable side versus like the neutral to slightly stable side. Mm-hmm. I think with the pitch, listen, let me back up. Look, I really like the spore. I just can't get over the hand feel. And if they were coming out in like this Lux Vapor or whatever the Cloudstone is, something like that. If those were readily available, it might have a different story because I think you could probably beat one of these in to be mm-hmm. beautiful. But just off the shelf and just the hand feel, just not a super big fan. The pitch, however, I think you're going to be able to start working with some like finesse, like turnover, like floaty turnover shots. I think you can work on some like nose up finesse, like straight approach shots. I really think that it can start teaching you to have like switch from an anhyzer forehand to a small hyzer release, like a baby hyzer forehand to give a little flick upshot with them. I think it'll handle that for you. And here's the thing, if it's burning over on you, you're doing it wrong. So then it's going to be like a nice teaching aid, I think, for those type of like that 150 foot in like soft approach. And I think this disc will give you multiple of those abilities personally. So I think pitch, Robbie, is where I'm going.
Okay. Colin, how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, that sounds great to me. Obviously, being in that space, I've heard a lot about the pitch, mm-hmm. and was always kind of curious how it compared to the glitch anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it definitely sounds like it would be more teachable than what the glitch proved to be for me for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't think there's like a ton of difference between the two, if I'm not mm-hmm. counting like the bead, right? All I did notice was like when I gave it a reason to like turn, it would do that easier than a glitch would. Now a glitch will still turn. So don't hear me not saying that, but I just feel like, and I feel like the pitch when it beats in is going to be beautiful. But I think it'll teach you a lot. So I'm curious to hear your feedback. That will be one we'll have to have you back on and talk about it, especially with you. Do you still have the glitch or did you trade it in?
No, I still have them.
It'd be cool to have you throw them together and see the difference. I think that would be a good experiment too.
Because to me, I think where it sounds like it's going to shine is exactly the question that we thankfully asked before diving in about the Nomad. Is like, if you try to throw the Nomad on Anheuser and you don't throw it well, mm-hmm. it's going to fight out or it's going to do something like that. And the glitch, it feels like, honestly, can be the exact same thing of like, you think because it's so lightweight that you're just going to be able to just pop it up and let it turn. Mm-hmm. But if you don't send it, it fights out even at a lightweight mm-hmm. type world. And so something that can hone in on that understable and also that you can't yam on mm-hmm. could be just huge. And you talk about like not feeling confident on the putting green, not feeling like having a disc like this in the bag that you can throw that sort of like nose up, like floaty approach with. It's dangerous how many times you can be 100 feet short of the basket and just boop, mm-hmm. send it in, like throw it in from 100 feet and still like throw that shot without worrying that you're going to leave yourself a 45 foot comeback that you would if you tried to throw your envy on that same shot kind of a deal. So
never been in that situation before.
Yeah. So like, I mean, telling you it is that like flick of the wrist, throw it nose up, upshot. This is the perfect type of disc to learn for that. And I would tell anyone who has distance issues, this is a really cool shot to add to your bag, a cool slot to add to your bag, mm-hmm. because if you're playing 350 foot holes on a regular basis and you only throw 300 feet comfortably, you're going to be 50 feet short so many times. And that just gets so boring over and over again, just lobbing these like putts up there and being like, well, this isn't really going to go in. This wouldn't really. Mm-hmm. But what if you had the opportunity to like actually give it a chance and throw something at it? Mm-hmm. Could be huge.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, so we'll get this out in the mail to you. Excited to hear your feedback. And again, thanks for being on for episode 99 of all things, which is crazy.
Thank you for having me. This has been quite the treat.
Yeah, man.
I love it.
We appreciate it. We'll see you soon. 99 hey. Problems, but a lid ain't one.
Hey, here we go. I said 99 problems, but a lid ain't one. I said 99. Yeah, we are super, super stoked. Episode 99 complete. Brad, we have a before we dive into, obviously, with Sue in the warehouse. Next week, mm-hmm. we are planning to... we want to ask a couple questions in the comments, but next week we are going to do episode 99 and a half because I will be in Nashville with Brody. And so it feels like a risky world to try to do some big live show that we've never done before.
Correct.
When I'm not in my normal setup and have access to multiple screens. Mm-hmm. And if last year was any indication, we're going to end up with some technical difficulties anyways, if that's we true. Tried to film with me in Nashville. So what we want to do is in the comments, if you have thrown the rhythm and the drift and you're a gyro guy, really want to know. If you plan on hunting down Colin for his statements about flight numbers and the Crave, let us know. That way we can send our protection program out to keep him, you know.
Foundation witness protection.
Exactly. Foundation care actually now includes that as well.
Yeah. Witness, yeah.
So, but want to know that. And then the other thing is that we thought about this as like an alternate option for episodes when we have a situation like next week where I can't make it. And so doing a little Q&A type deal. So questions for Brad. Brad's going to do a little Q&A. So we'll probably end up throwing something on my Instagram, the In the Bag Instagram, to like get questions for Brad. Mm-hmm. But Would love for you, questions that you have for Brad, whether they're foundation related, life related, bag related, whatever they may be, send those out, because he's going to do a Q&A next week. Comments and a poll on Instagram. So those are probably the best ways to get mm-hmm. questions, Brad.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Leave them here, leave them on, and then Robbie and I will post them on our personal Instagrams as well. So we'll try to gather enough. I don't know what format's going to be. I would love to do a live Q&A, whether it be on the podcast network or whatever. We're going to figure out the logistics this week, but we'll answer all those questions. Even if we do a recorded show, just like a Q&A question that way, we'll do that. So any and all questions, it can be personal, it can be disc golf related, in the bag related, foundation related, Robbie related, that I can answer for Robbie, I guess.
It's true.
Yeah.
You just make it up, even if it's not actually true.
If it's family friendly, it's appropriate. So bring it on is all I got to say. I'll answer whatever. We appreciate that. We'll run that next week. So leave the comments below.
And then week after that, we're going to try to, here's the calling, the casting shout out. So that's going to end up being the last week of April, that we shoot this. So if you are a guest that's listening and you've been on In the Bag and you've never come back for a recap, get ready, because that means that basically we're going to have you come back, anyone that wants to, and we're just going to buckle up and go, mm-hmm. and hear how the discs fly for you and do a little catch up. So mm-hmm. should be a good time. And I have no idea how that episode is going to go, Brad. I think it is going to be a hilarious logistical nightmare, but it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. I'm sitting here staring at these baskets full of putters from the torture that the guys submitted themselves to the other night. I'm like, do we do some sort of, like, since we're doing this live, do we do something? Do we do a challenge? Do we do some challenges? You guys let us know.
Yeah.
I'm game for something real. I'll tell you this. I'm not doing 2,000 made putts.
No
way. I will say that. I may not even do 1,000. I may not even do 500.
I do appreciate, I got defended in the comments of one, because someone asked, like, oh, how long do you think it would, like, do you think Robbie could beat Hunter's time? Because Hunter did in like 3 hours and 26 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I honestly don't know. Because I don't practice a lot of 30-foot putts.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is like, that's a weird little distance for me. But also, I don't have access. I probably do. I'd be curious how many putters Hunter was using to balance the scales. Because Brody took a long time as well, but Brody literally had like 30 putters. And that's right, all he was using. So
yeah. I'm staring at a solid like 200 right now.
Yeah, that's insane. That's insane. But you know, some of those putters were good. And if they're good, we put them in the bag. Other good discs come at foundationdiscs.com. Brad, horrific transition, but we got there. What's new in the warehouse?
I'm going to ignore that, but you tried, and that's what matters here.
Hey, we got it. We got a wrap.
Yeah. So new in the warehouse. You kind of alluded to it earlier, but foundation care now here in April is on every order, just included. What that means, let's say you buy a pitch, and you're like, man, I really want to love this. I threw it a couple times. It's in good shape. I didn't go scrape it on concrete on purpose for fun. I threw it, didn't really love it. You can, there's a form on our website. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom, it's that'll get you in contact with us. It just says, hey, you know, this disc didn't work out for me. What we'll do, we'll go ahead and send you a refund for that. Once we get your disc, you'll return the disc to us. Once we get it, you'll get a gift card for that value. You can swap it out for another disc. So it's a nice risk-free way to try a new disc. So yeah, again, maybe you've never thrown a lid before. Now's a great time to check, because hey, we have foundation care, and maybe you love it and that's great. You keep it in the bag. If not, you can reach back out to us and we'll get you out something else that suits you a little bit better. So just something we want to add. We've done a lot of research, a lot of testing. It just seems like a great thing to just include in our offerings. And great thing is, if you shop with us in person, we can even offer it in person, as long as we create you a customer profile. So very excited about that. Let's see. We have the P3X from Discmania releasing. This is Wednesday when we're filming. It releases today. So there still should be some of those. Nicholas Antela DD1, which had the big old cat with the cowboy hat on, which is hilarious, and I love it. Those release. We have some Discraft restock going up. We have Nocturnal. Is it Nocturnal? Yeah, Nocturnal Jackalopes up, which are very cool. Some of our Trilogy restock. We have some Diamonds, some Pure, some like very like classic, good like beginner to intermediate sort of things there as well. We still have some Discraft Tour Series that's going up. You know, we have been moving through a lot of those and uploading stuff up behind it. I believe we'll have the Radiant, which is the Glow, Supras, Eras, and there's one other mold that I'm forgetting, but there'll be three different molds that we have the Radiant plastic in, which is very cool. So those will be coming up. A little slower week in the warehouse this week just because we have our grand reopening for our new storefront on Lynchburg on Friday. We're releasing a bunch of custom foundation stuff for that. I mean, we have tons of custom stamp discs, exclusive Brixton card for the first 100 people that come here commemorating our old store, which is so sick. Robbie, I did grab you one, so you'll be getting
Ayo.
One. And then we have a bunch of new foundation merch releasing as well, new hats, new shirts, new windbreakers. Those are all going to be in store. What's cool is like our new store, we're going to focus a lot more on custom stuff. So we're going to be focus grouping some new designs and new things before we put them out to everybody. So it's a very cool thing that's happening in the store. So a lot of energy focus there. And then MCO next week, for those of you who are going to MCO, Robbie's going to be there. Hunter's going to be there. Brody and Jason are all going to be there. So make sure you all find them. There'll be some custom Robbie C stuff, wink, wink, yeah. Wizards, wink, wink, that are going to the custom blend for Robbie down there, which are going to be great. Brody's going to have a small run of discs that we did with him, all white with a blacked out Dark Horse logo on the top. So very sick. He'll be doing some signing down there. We'll have some Bogey Bro stuff as well. Tons of stuff happening both here on the online store, in person, and vending. So wherever you are, find us. Make sure you come say hi. We appreciate all of you. While you're saying hi, make sure you pick up something. It's going to be good. We know it's going to go in your bag. And we'll see you all next week for episode 99, part two. We'll call it part D.
99 part, I don't know. We should have asked Colin what two is in Mandarin.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I knew that. I feel like I should know that. But
what is it?
Yeah.
Yiquin? Yiquin?
Yeah. Yiquin.
Yeah. Yeah. Yiquin. Now when someone says Yiquin, I'll be like, you fool.
You fool.
You fool. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.